Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Coach Natalie and I, and we are going to be chatting about gym bag essentials. This is going to be a light and fun topic. Natalie, fill us in. Why did you want to chat about this? Like, how do you want to kick this off?
Well, light and fun, that's me. So
light, fun, and airy.
Not light actually, but fun. I just thought this would be something kind of fun to talk about because I do get a fair amount of questions about this in my DMs, and you know, I have a few little tricks in my own gym bag that appear on my Instagram stories, and I'll get questions about those. And then also, of course, you know, we have to acknowledge that the holiday season is upon us, and you know, we have things like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all sorts of opportunities for gifting, you know, and shopping and whatnot. So it seemed timely.
I like it. No, I agree. I think this will be a fun topic to get into. I don't think we have like discount codes or anything for this, but if you are looking to stock up your own gym bag or for a loved one, then this will be super helpful. And again, I think this will just be fun to talk through like a few of the tools that we bring to the gym that we find most valuable. So number one, a logbook. Talk us through it.
Okay. A logbook can be in the form of, I know many of you use apps like training apps. We use TrueCoach with our clients. You know, I know some of you are in group programs that use like Train Heroic and whatnot apps of sort, and they do sort of have a logbook component. So if that's you, please continue to use. But if you are not using a logbook, you should be. Absolutely. This could be in the form of the apps that I just mentioned. I'm sure there are many more out there. Or if you are old fashioned, then a pen and paper work really well, a little notebook that you keep in your bag. Why is this important? Because you should be tracking your lifts. We should be monitoring, you know, strength increases or plateaus. And also it will make your training session a lot more efficient if you know where you're going to start. So, you know, like what you need to warm up on, you know what your top set's going to be. It just kind of streamlines the entire experience. And it's very cool to just like look back on your mesocycle or your entire training career and just see how far your lifts have come.
Absolutely. It's such an important part of knowing how hard you need to push yourself, because the reality is like once you're past the beginner stage, you could go in and lift the same weight for the same reps for 6 months, a year, and it will always feel hard, right? Now, we're not always going to be able to progress the logbook, but I know for us as coaches as well, it's such an important part of what we do to ensure you as a client are continuing to make progress, because one of the best proxies we have for measuring muscle growth is, are you getting stronger over time? Typically in like the 5 to 15 rep range is mostly what we're going to be looking at there. But for you as a client as well, going in knowing like, okay, this is what I did last week. Ideally, I would be able to progress a bit on this week. Again, just the mindset you go into the gym with and knowing they're progressing over time. Because again, I know like so many people who, especially when I worked in a gym where it's like, okay, I see the same dude every Monday. He does 3 sets of 10 with 135 on the bar for bench press. I've worked here for 3 years and he's done that exact same thing every Monday, right? And he wonders why he's not progressing. So that's so important. But I know like for me, like anytime I'm writing a new mesocycle for a client, I'm looking at, okay, where was this lift at the end of their last phase? Where are we at this phase? And that's really giving me a good picture. And then over time, even like the start to now, how are they progressing on these movements? That gives me such a good idea of what our actual progress is like over time. And again, it's, if we're not tracking those things, I think this is one of the biggest mistakes most people make. And it really hurts so many people's progress. Anything else out there?
I don't want to, you know, get too deep in the weeds with like the different phases of, you know, nutrition and training and all of that, but, you know, we can't always be in a deficit, right? Or like something as sexy as fat loss where, you know, we're looking for those new scale lows and that bicep vein to pop and, you know, ab veins and whatnot. So having something like a logbook, you know, that shows you that you're making gains, you know, week over week or, you know, month over month, that is going to be your excitement.
Oh, absolutely.
Most of the year.
And having something else like that to focus on is also so important in understanding those different ways we can track progress. Next up, we have a timer/watch or app with timer.
Cool. I feel like I had to mention all of these things because, again, the aforementioned apps like True Coach, there is a timer, like in the
which upper- I literally just learned when we hung out. I did not know True Coach had a timer, and I've used True Coach for forever, as have our clients. But go on.
You could be like Jeremiah over here, and you could be the guy that uses his phone timer,
like
and
a peasant.
The sound goes off, and you can hear it like throughout the entire gym. It's like do 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 do. It's like it's time
for keep everybody on their toes. Yeah.
Like we're all living this with you, but no, seriously though, you're doing exactly what you should be doing, which is timing your rest. It keeps you focused and efficient. Make sure that you are resting enough.
Right.
And it also just keeps you on task. I mean, I will add a disclaimer, make sure that you're resting long enough between your sets so that all of your training sets are productive, but you know, it's very easy to get distracted, certainly on your phone. So using a timer is just super helpful to keep things running efficiently and smoothly.
Yeah. And that's what we'll typically recommend rest times for clients. I think for more people than not, it's they fall into not resting long enough versus resting too long. And the problem with that is like we have different types of fatigue. We have central fatigue and local fatigue. So local fatigue would be like, let's say you did a set of bicep curls. Local fatigue dissipating or disappearing would be like my biceps stop burning. But central fatigue is more relative to your nervous system, right? And your nervous system determines how many of those muscle fibers within your bicep are able to recruit and fire and building muscle. Like the more of those muscle fibers we can recruit and fire within a set, the more muscle growth we'll be able to stimulate, the more effective that set will be. But the thing is, if we don't rest long enough between sets, you won't be able to recruit as many because your nervous system is still fatigued. Even if the muscle might not feel fatigued, you won't be able to recruit all those muscle fibers. We won't get as much out of that set versus if we rest it a little bit longer. So it's not just like, it's so important from the aspect of actually being able to build muscle and change your body. Anything else to add before we move on?
No, true enough.
All right. Angles, 90s grips. What do you got for us?
We love angles 90 around here.
True.
So these are handy. Now, if you don't go to a gym that has all sorts of fancy handles, grips, implements and whatnot, angles 90 can just be such a like catch-all addition. Like you can do so many things with them. I would say like my most favorite blanket use is really just giving someone the opportunity to use like a neutral grip, right? I mean, so many people, especially like in home gyms, you know, are kind of limited with their grip and they'll end up doing like a pronated, which is an overhand grip, or like supinated, which is an underhand grip. And you know, those are great for, you know, training various things. But for a lot of people, they're not always the most comfortable, just what the shoulder, what it asks of the shoulder joint. So by using angles 90, if you don't know what these are, you can look them up and then you're probably going to get served ads. So sorry. But you know, they basically like hook around. If you imagine something like a lat, like a very standard, like pull down, right? Mm-hmm. Very standard, like lat pull down, you can loop them like over that wide bar and basically use a neutral grip instead of the pronated one you would have to use. And they won't slip on you. So I know a lot of times we'll have clients loop like D handles, cable D handles, like over that same bar, but they get a little bit like they're a little unstable, a little slippy slidey. So those angles 90 will really like lock in that grip. Likewise, things like, you know, neutral grip pull-ups, you know, or even, you know, something like if you just have an Olympic lifting bar and you're deadlifting or something, right, and you want a neutral grip. They are honestly just so handy.
Absolutely. And that's especially if you train at a more basic gym, like an Anytime Fitness, a Planet Fitness, something of that sort. Whereas like the gyms we train at are so like specialized, but they're also pretty rare to stumble across. Or especially if you have a home gym, it just adds so much versatility where, especially for your back training, almost exclusively for your back training, actually, it just allows us to better target whatever tissue you were trying to train rather than just like an overhand or an underhand grip. As you said, that we can do like neutral grip pull-ups now. We can turn that straight bar into a neutral grip pull-down bar. We send these out so frequently to clients. This and our next one, which is lifting straps, we send out
go ahead. I want to go back to angles 90 for a second because I have to say, even if, you know, you do go to a gym that like you or I go to where we don't need them. I still have them because with the amount of times that I travel, and I do keep like Planet Fitness membership. So I always travel with them. And I've used them like pretty much every time.
Yeah. So no, they're such a helpful tool. I couldn't recommend them enough. All right. Next up, we have lifting straps. Do you want to put this in the same category as VersaGrips or no?
Yep.
Okay. Lifting straps and VersaGrips. Talk us through it.
Okay. Well, I do have both. So, but same. You don't have to be nerds like us. But I would, if you don't have either, I would recommend getting one. So lifting straps, I would say require a bit more, like practice, in using them, but super easy to get the hang of, honestly, after a couple times. And they're just kind of more like, kind of like long, I don't even know how to describe them, but they go over your wrists and they come with like a strap that you wrap around the bar. But basically those, as well as these VersaGrips, are designed to assist your grip. So when we're training for hypertrophy, there is always a target tissue that we are trying to put under tension. And we are very rarely, if not ever, grip training. And so when we're doing something, let's say an RDL, a deadlift, we really don't want that grip to be the limiting factor. We really want the limiting factor to be the posterior chain, right? And oftentimes what we'll see is the grip will give out before that posterior chain. Or even something like, you know, Bulgarian split squats or split squats in general, you know, when your dumbbells are getting pretty heavy, it's nice to just have a little bit of assistance there. Mm-hmm. It's not a grip exercise, right? Right.
Yeah. And that's, alongside the Angles 90s, I'd say this is the only thing we send out more than Angles 90s. It's very rare someone starts and they're using some form of grip assistance. But as you said, for RDLs, for movements like Bulgarian split squats, where you're holding a heavy dumbbell and your grip starts to be the thing that gives out first before your glutes or quads. And really for almost all of your upper body pulling movements as well. So lat movements, upper back movements, again, that grip, or think of like, if we're doing a dumbbell row, how many times, if you're not using grip assistance, maybe it does feel like your back is failing, but also you really feel like, man, I'm just about to drop this weight. I have to crank out a couple more reps. It eliminates that and allows us to put so much more significant tension on the muscle. So I would say, like, out of all of these, like the actual tools, the more physical things aside from like the logbook, the timer, probably one of the most important things here. Next up, we have, go ahead. Sorry.
Same thing here. So like holiday travel's coming up, right? You want to bring your grips with you if you plan on attending like your training sessions on the road. Like that's something I also travel with along with my Angles 90. And I would honestly like bring my grips before I brought the Angles 90, I would say. And then you also kind of like, you know, every now and again, I'll get someone who's like, oh, no. Like I've got a super strong vice grip. And it's like, that might be the case. But when you think about it, it's still an energy leak. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what you're doing to hold on to the implement, the dumbbell, the barbell, you know, the cable, the whatever, you know, that's still like energy and force that you could be applying toward the actual lift.
Absolutely. I see that a lot with like split squats.
Yeah.
Specifically. And the same thing. I always will bring those with me when I'm traveling. There's been one time in the last like 4 years where I forgot my VersaGrips. I was so upset.
You were going to say one time in the last 4 years that you traveled.
No, I've traveled more than that lately, unfortunately. Next up, we have wrist cuffs.
Wrist cuffs can be really handy for like cable movements in particular, like take your lateral raises, all variations of your cable laterals, you know, front raises and whatnot. They can be helpful when, you know, a lot of times people will complain about like forearm pain from like gripping the cable, or maybe they feel like they're using their forearm too much. and that just kind of like takes that out of the mix and lets you focus on the main thing.
Okay. Yeah. I like wrist cuffs. I would say these are probably one of the ones that I will recommend a lot less frequently. Personally, I feel like a lateral raise with a wrist cuff is a little bit more hit or miss. I personally feel I prefer without too, but especially as you said, like someone with forearm pain, or there will be a lot of times where it's like maybe somebody actually injured something. Like, what was it, Alex? Did he break a finger?
Yeah, we just got an update too about that. Funny you mentioned it, but my client Alex, like broke his pinky, and so you know these came in handy. For that. Right. I mean, you could even do some things like some cable rowing.
That's
grip for. And I'll also second exactly what you said, which is like, I don't even know. I don't own wrist cuffs. Like, this is not high on my list, but it could be for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And especially I think like for lateral raises, I find for some people, they just feel much better. We get a better stimulus for the side delt, but there's a lot of individual variety there. Next up, figure eight lifting straps.
Yeah, these are cool. I do have a pair of these and I do use them very regularly. Okay. And I use them for my lateral raises, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I have some low cable lateral raises in my program right now.
Mm-hmm. That's the secret to your delts, then.
It is. It okay. really is. Guys, get in on it. I loop them around my hand. So, I mean, it's called a figure eight lifting strap. So I'm sure you could imagine what this looks like. But you know, you kind of just like stick your hands through and have the strap like over your hand and like under your thumb. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that feels on lateral raises. I actually do get a lot of weird tension in my forearms sometimes with those. And then I also use them for like my tricep pushdowns.
Really?
Yeah, cross cable tricep pushdown, same thing. So it's like,
okay, I can see that. Yeah.
Watching this video. But yeah, instead of like having to grip the cable ball, like there's no grip whatsoever, really, because you just loop your hand through it. So, and they're really cheap. So okay. It's kind of like, I like them. I like the way they feel. And, you know, it's pretty inexpensive. So why not?
Yeah. Okay. I've never really messed with the figure eights, I've looked at them. I do think for a lot of people though, on like a movement, like a lateral raise specifically, you can just be gripping so hard, like unnecessarily hard, that for some people it actually creates some issues in itself, like some forearm pain or some elbow pain. And having something like that can help relieve that. Or if you are like having pain with that, with having to grip so hard for a movement like that cross cable push down, again, it could be helpful there.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Next up, daisy chains.
All right. Now this is another one that, you know, I don't even think I have a daisy chain in my bag, but, they can come in handy when you're talking about like banding things. You know, like if you're banding or like reverse banding, like a hack or a pendulum or something like that, mm-hmm. just make sure that the band is doing, you know, is the proper length for you.
Right.
They're super sturdy. Like that's their whole thing. They're used for like rock climbing. Right. So setting up like some specialty setups. So again, this is not high on my list of like, you need to run out and get this immediately, but can certainly come in handy.
Okay. Absolutely. Weight belts. Weight belt, rather. You don't have to get multiple belts.
No, you need as many as possible for the gains. Just kidding. And of course, like, you know, this is a good one to mention that these come in a wide variety of like price mm-hmm. range. Right.
Absolutely.
They're like super specialty, nice, like leather ones with buckles. And then it's like the cheap one that I have that I've had since my CrossFit days that honestly still works just as well.
Right.
So weight belts are used to assist with bracing, you know, something you always hopefully hear your coach talking about, you know, bracing before your lifts, which is really kind of like pushing out against that like diaphragm, making sure that like the core and everything is engaged for the activity that you're about to engage in. And so a weight belt provides basically like an implement for you to brace against. So like it's a physical tactile cue for you to mm-hmm. like basically push out against, which can be really handy. And I actually like, I go back and forth with using it. When I'm talking to clients about it, it's not a go-to. Like, yeah. I want to make sure, of course, that the concept of bracing is clear and that they know how to brace before I like put someone in a weight belt.
Right.
I think for a lot of people, it ends up being kind of a security blanket a little bit. Like, you know, mentally, it's like you kind of, when you know you're getting ready to go for a tough set or like something heavy. It actually can really make a big difference. I really like it for like RDLs personally. Mm-hmm. Used it the other day for my top set on pendulum, which I'm in two minds about if I'm going to keep doing that, but they can really come in handy.
Yeah. It does help you create more intra-abdominal pressure. As you said, the muscles of your core and the pressure you're able to create there, which is basically what we're talking about when we're talking about bracing, that's really going to help stabilize your spine, stabilize your pelvis. So prevent things like back injuries, for example. But also, as you said, if you don't know how to brace properly, adding it in a weight belt isn't going to fix that. Like, that needs to be in place first. I always use one for my RDLs. That's, as you said, for me, it's kind of a security blanket, honestly. But past that, I mean, I use it every week, but that's really kind of the only time I do. If I were to be doing something like a barbell back squat, I would definitely use it. Really anything where we have a lot of axial loading or a lot of spinal loading. So again, like a deadlift, a Romanian deadlift, a barbell back squat, I'll use it. I personally, like on my pendulums, hack squats, things of that nature, I won't. But I might have to mess with that actually now that you bring it up and see if it feels better.
Yeah, I used it. I mean, of course, like I'm sick of talking about it, but I had that intercostal strain, which was so annoying. But back before that, I was kind of using it. I was really into it. Mm-hmm. And then since coming back, like last week was the first time I used it since then. Yeah. And I was like, maybe I don't love that. Like it didn't, I'll use it when I feel like it really does give me that extra like 5%, but I didn't think that happened last week. So it's one of those things where like, I literally only have it from my CrossFit days and, you know, I'm not sure like if I'd have one. No, I would. I take it back. Just kidding.
I'm a big fan and a decent amount of clients, as it's very rarely like one of like lifting straps, for example. Most people who don't have those in the first couple of weeks will send them over. A weight belt is typically something. Sorry, Inigo's having a nightmare. Hey. My dog's having a nightmare right next to us.
She's dreaming about those Crocs.
Our lifting belt is very rarely like one of the first things we'll implement, but a lot of clients who are more experienced and maybe they've like had the occasional back issue or trouble bracing still, a lot more times we'll implement it then. All right. Next up, we have D handles.
Yeah. Now this is, you know, again, this is one that like, I don't know. I actually did do like a reel about this a while ago. I have them and I use them all the time, because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go to the gym and I need like a classic D handle, like not a fancy handle, like classic D handle, it's like I can't find the other one. It's like there's always one missing. I never know where it is. So it's happened more than enough times at multiple gyms. So I just have my own. They don't take up that much space. You know, and so that's something I felt strongly enough about purchasing. They're also not that expensive. So,
yeah, you got to appreciate a good D handle. And as you said, there are oftentimes harder to find. Do you like the ones where the center of the grip is larger than the outside, or do you like it where it's symmetrical through the entire grip? Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
So there will be some where they're narrower, larger, like right in the middle, versus some where it's just a tube.
Yeah, no, mine are just a tube, but they're like, I mean, again, I think everyone's preference is going to be a little bit different here.
Yeah.
I mean, I ordered mine off of Amazon. I definitely read through reviews and whatnot, and I really like mine. And then, you know, the cool thing about D handles, of course, is like they pair really well with the Versa grips for your lat work, which is important.
Absolutely. Now, most gyms will have some pretty decent D handles. By no means are we saying with this you have to go buy all of these things, but these are things, depending on your situation, that could be helpful. Next up, carabiners.
Yes. So I do keep these in my gym bag. And now it sounds like I own all of these things.
I'm impressed with the amount of stuff you own, actually. I don't have any carabiners.
You've never seen how big my gym bag is now. No, but again, same thing, like carabiners. I mean, you don't have to get the giant ones like for grappling, you know, rock climbing and whatnot. But I will say, as a short person or a not tall person, with not very long limbs, so like my arms aren't really that long. Sometimes I get into trouble with like, you know, the cable balls and, you know, even something like using my figure eights, you know, for what was I using those for? For some like cable laterals or something. It actually like will shorten like the cable. So I'll like attach a carabiner like above the cable ball. Yeah. So I can attach like my D handle, figure eight, or like whatever implement above that. And that just like shortens that cable for you. And so I honestly use them probably like every week, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Resistance bands.
Resistance bands. So there are a couple of uses for these. Some people, I mean, I personally use one to warm up my shoulder, like every upper body session I do. It's like a thin orange band. But I also have a couple in my bag for banding hack squats or pendulums if I need to. I admit that they were originally in my gym bag for like warming up and kind of mobility strengthening purposes, but I did bust it out the other day for a split squat I was doing on a hack that where the sled was just so heavy. So I banded it and it came through really clutch and I was very happy with that.
Yeah, I like that idea. I still need to mess with that myself. But definitely, I use bands constantly for like rotator cuff warm-ups, really specifically to warm up the shoulder joint. I feel like bands are so helpful. Aside from things like, again, occasionally maybe you're doing like a band, you're adding a band to your hack squat. I don't like within training itself, we're not going to do like a lot of just band movements, but I do like them for kind of priming yourself for a better session. Lacrosse ball.
Yeah. So this just ties in nicely to the conversation about, you know, using a resistance band for like warmups and rotator cuff work, things like this. I really like a lacrosse ball for, you know, kind of doing some form of kind of, just loosening, again, big injury history here. And there are some little things that I need to tend to fairly regularly. And that can just be like really helpful in terms of like, you know, loosening up fascia, like points, things like that. Nothing major, but you know, it's again, it's one of those really low cost things that is nice to have.
Absolutely. A lacrosse ball, rolling out on a lacrosse ball is so painful, but it can be very helpful. It's not, again, just like something I would blanket, like, hey, everyone needs a lacrosse ball and to roll out on it beforehand. But again, like with your specific issues, it can be very helpful for quote unquote loosening things up a bit. Next up, ankle straps for kickbacks.
Yeah. So, a lot of my ladies, especially, are after some glutes. So we will often include things like glute kickbacks, right? Glute max or glute med kickbacks, and a really like sturdy, stable pair of ankle straps, are really handy there. Like I know I have a pair that are super cool. They like go like, it's kind of like a stirrup. So it goes like under the heel and then like Velcro around the ankle. So it distributes weight really well. And then also those can be used pretty nicely for like some home setup stuff, like banded leg curls, for example. Right. I really like to like attach a carabiner, which you also have in your gym bag at this point, to one of those bands to an ankle strap. So you see what I'm getting at? Like all these, I'm really big into like optimizing setups in case you can't tell. And that's what a lot of these implements can do. But yeah, if you're serious about glute gains and you know, you've got like kickbacks of some sort in your program, you're going to need some ankle straps.
And some gyms will have a decent pair. A lot of them won't. As you said, there a lot of times what gyms will have is just one that goes around your ankle, which oftentimes you'll find kind of slides up your leg or moves around when you're trying to do the kickback. Whereas the one I always recommend to clients and occasionally send to clients is, as you said, it'll go around your ankle, but it'll also go kind of under the arch of your foot or under your heel. So it'll distribute that weight a lot more evenly and it won't move around. So that's typically the best option there. Wedges.
Yeah, these are a big one. I'd move these up the list. But a nice pair of squat wedges for your heel elevation. And there are a lot of makeshift ways that you can do this. You know, we'll often say, hey, use like a 5-pound plate underneath your heel to elevate your heel, or like the handle of a dumbbell. Because, you know, when we're using heel elevation, usually it's for like a lengthened quad movement to assist with, you know, some ankle mobility or lack thereof. So there are different kinds of wedges you can get out there, like ranging in price. They're like the super, super primo ones. Again, if you go to like super cool gym, maybe your gym has a few sets of these wedges. But if not, there are some pretty affordable ones. Like I have a pair of I think they're made of like rubber and they come in a couple different heights. So you can like stack them. So you can kind of like play around with, the angle and also the angle of the wedge.
Absolutely. And as you said, those can wedges can be very helpful because elevating your heel can kind of make up for a lack of ankle mobility. So if we wanted to do, for example, a very quad dominant squat, we would want to really try to drive our, because to continue to lower the weight, to lower the bar, basically that movement has to come from our knee joint or our hip joint. But once we get to the point where we can't drive our knees any further forward over our toes, that movement has to come from the hip joint rather than the knee joint. So a lot of times people's ankle dorsiflexion or their ankle mobility basically won't be that great. So we can't bias quads as well because a lot more of the movement is coming from the hip joint, makes it a little bit more glute dominant. So elevating the heel will just allow you to make those movements a little bit more quad biased. And that's where something like with the wedges can be super helpful. Next up.
Yeah, it does. Using a wedge versus using plates under your heels or
feels so much better.
It's so much better. Like you just distribute the weight so much more evenly throughout the foot. And yeah, big fan.
Dumbbell add-on plates.
I feel like I email someone about this, like, or like I actually say I would like email two people a week about dumbbell add-on plates. Like, I wonder how many I've sold from Rogue. I know like Rogue has them. There are a couple other brands as well, but they're like little tiny change plates that you can slip on to a dumbbell. So I always like to say, you know, increasing something on a dumbbell lift, you know, it's usually going to be a 5-pound jump. So let's say, if, you know, like a bench press from like, you know, a 55 pound dumbbell to like 60. I mean, that is like as wide as the Grand Canyon, right? Like those are big jumps.
Big jump. Absolutely.
Yeah. So these add-on plates come in increments of like 0.5 pounds. Mm-hmm. I think there's 1 pound and a 1.5 pound. So it's a great way to progress and progressively overload when you feel stuck, you know, in between those, you know, those 0 to 5 pound weight jumps. Like you're not quite ready to make a weight jump yet, but it's like you're kind of mowing through reps. So yeah, I'm a big fan, and I've used them also on cable machines. They could slip really nicely over the
pin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the pin, but also like the you know,
the pole thing.
The pole thing, exactly. But yeah, they're super handy.
And also for movements like a lateral raise, where like going from a 5 to 10 pound jump, like that's a huge, huge increase, right? That's double the weight. And oftentimes people can't do that. So it is very helpful for situations like that as well.
Yep.
Flat shoes.
All right. So this is for all my folks who are, you know, wearing like running shoes to the gym. And I'm not saying that's, you know, bad or wrong or any, like, you don't have to go get special shoes or anything like that. But having a flat pair of shoes for lifting, especially on lower body day, is super, super important, actually, because you're going to make just better contact with the ground overall. Right. You know, we're like, we always talk about like even weight distribution through the foot, like all points of the foot. You just have a really hard time, quote, feeling the ground. If you're in running shoes, they tend to feel like very comfortable, but you don't have much actual contact with the ground. They feel kind of like pillows. And then also like when you add like a heel elevation, especially if you're using like a plate or a dumbbell handle as your heel elevation with a pair of running shoes, like it's very unstable. And what we're trying to do is create the most like stable environment and stable base for your lifting.
Absolutely. The more stable we are, the better output we can get from that muscle. And again, the better stimulus we can create. So this could be like Vans, Chucks, Converse. Out of those three, what's your favorite shoe? Not even just for lifting, just in general.
My limited edition Adidas Superstars, obviously.
All right. I'll give you that one. Lifting shoes.
Yeah, this is also in the nice to have category and not necessary by any means. This is, you know, a lot of people, you know, from their CrossFit days might have them. So it's like, hey, if you have them and, you know, you want to still get some use out of them, go for it. But they are going to help you out in that category of like a wedge, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to help you out with ankle mobility or lack thereof, giving you a slight heel elevation for, you know, certain like quad bias lifts. I have worn them before, like on a pendulum or hack, and it does feel really nice, honestly. But at the end of the day, I'm lazy and I don't want to bring another pair of shoes, but you could.
So you will bring all of this, but you don't bring your shoes.
They are in the trunk of my car for when I'm feeling, you know, when I'm really feeling it.
Okay. But basically, as you said, it's kind of like a smaller version of a built-in wedge, right? The heel is going to be elevated, but it's extremely stable as well. They're very heavy and you have a ton of contact with the ground, as opposed to like a high heel, of course, where you have a tiny point of contact. You have so much contact to the ground, so it's also very stable. But as you said, again, like, that's more so a nice to have thing versus a needed. I will say it's pretty rare that I will recommend, like, a lot of times we can get the same job done with a wedge, for example, and that's a lot more practical for most people versus lifting shoes. But again, if you already have them, can definitely help. Next up, headphones.
Like, they last forever too. Like a good pair of lifting shoes, like you're not, I mean,
you will pass them down for generations. Exactly. Your children and your children's children will have jacked quads. Next up, we have headphones.
Yeah. I don't always fall into the headphone camp.
I don't really either. Actually,
I use them. I always have them in my bag, but it's more so to like tune out annoying people than it is to actually listen to something. But, I do use them on for cardio, cause I'll usually like,
yeah, same.
That. But I know a lot of people just like really need their jams. You know, they need their tunes to hype themselves up. Or maybe you are like me and you need to tune everyone out. So that's, I'd say those are pretty common actually.
Yeah. That's, I'm the same way. Like, I prefer to not have any headphones in, but if I'm listening to something, it's like, I'll listen to like the peaceful meditation playlist or like something that's instrumental. I don't like to actually like have music where I'm like thinking about the lyrics while I'm lifting, because I feel like I'm just not as focused.
Yeah. I honestly, it's not something I feel I need. Like, I don't need to hype myself up, but, I do need to drown people out.
Fair enough. Finally, we have intro workout.
Right. And this also could be you. It could not be you. Like, you don't, you know, this is
very context dependent. Yeah.
Right. And of course, like our clients that, you know, currently have an intro workout, like, you know who you are. But this can be super helpful for, let's say, someone who's training first thing in the morning and, you know, maybe they don't have time to get food down or digested. This can be a really handy approach. Or maybe you're someone who is like in a building phase and calories are very high. And you know, honestly, getting them all in every day is a chore. Well, we can use some during our workout, and that can just help basically fuel your workout.
Yeah, absolutely. And typically what this will be is a quick digesting carb, right? We want something that will digest very, very quickly. Like a highly branched cyclic dextrin is typically going to be your best option. But something like a Gatorade powder also will work extremely well. Even like a dextrose. But again, it'll all typically go with like Gatorade powder or a highly branched cyclic dextrin for most people. Sometimes there'll be like some sodium, like some pink sea salt, like a half teaspoon in the mix there as well. But you're just looking at hydration and carbs that are very, very quick digested. And again, it'll depend on the person. But I would say probably 50% of my clients have an intro workout carb in place.
Yeah, I go back and forth with this, but a big thing for me is really, you know, how high are calories and how easily are they getting them down? Because, you know, I know even for me personally, like I don't use an intra. I really just want my food like so badly. But I feel like with my training sessions, like it could benefit.
And it also depends, again, a lot on the client and how they feel on the deficit and how they manage it. Especially for, I actually like for someone where we are pushing a little bit harder and they are a little bit leaner, like, and it is more likely that we're going to be losing muscle. So again, this is more specific to an advanced client, but I do like, as long as we can, actually having those intra workout carbs in place, because that also really helps maintain training performance. And that training performance is so precious when we're trying to maintain or even build muscle tissue. But there often does come a time where it's like, hey, us spending 20 grams of carbs, for example, on liquid calories that are very quickly digested. So thus they're not going to keep you full for long. And that's making it harder for us to adhere to the diet as a whole. Like there comes a time where the juice might not be worth the squeeze, but when it's feasible for a more advanced client, I definitely like to keep them in place.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So that is what we have as far as gym bag essentials. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up, Natalie?
That was my list, but I would be curious if we missed anything. So if there's something that we left out, shoot us a message. Let us know, because I'd be curious.
Absolutely. Well, this was a fun episode. As always, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you all next time.